Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. Great show today with Dr. Andre Thomas, celebrating 28 years as the artistic director for Tallahassee Community Chorus. Their concert, Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Auditorium. Jack Rudlow with me in the first hour, talking about all things related to Gulf Specimen Marine Lab, and Miriam Dady with another guest in the business spotlight. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and car, ourselves. We're your one-stop shop for truck and car concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts, across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
So here we are on a beautiful Saturday in November, midstream, we might say, mid-month, and enjoying the weather, are we not? Yes. Sort of unpredictable of late. In fact, the weather forecast has been not unlike the political landscape. Just about the time you get it figured out, it switches on you, so you're even more baffled and bewildered than you were the first time you looked at it. But nonetheless, our forecast through the weekend looks like it's going to be rather pleasant. In fact, I guess expected high today of 66 and a low tonight of 44. Tomorrow's weather, partly sunny, 71 degrees and a low of 54. So that's not bad. Yeah, starting to feel a little bit more like November, for heaven's sakes. And then we are gearing up, are we not, for a well-deserved and anticipated Thanksgiving holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. Might as well say that right now, because I'm thankful for you and for the opportunity to bring you such great things that happens all the time around this town and around the region. People like Gulf Specimen Marine Lab director, founder Jack Rudlow, our guest. He's going to be with me here shortly. And one of his colleagues, Nick Christie, is a videographer, photographer, and all around kind of creative guy who's helping Jack tell the story of this marvelous organization that now for, golly, I think it's 50 years that they've been doing this. Jack was recently recognized by the National Geographic Society at a particular event there in Washington, D.C. He was up there recently to be recognized and received honors as a member of their Wall of Heroes. Now, we talked about this the last time Jack was here. This was in the making and has happened now, where his work has been duly recognized. In fact, I think we've got a piece of an interview with one of the principals involved with National Geographic, who I think is like the senior photo editor or something of that sort. So we're going to find out how all of that's happened. And then again, we're going to focus on some of the needs that Gulf Specimen Marine Lab is incurring. I mean, this is a very costly enterprise. For those of you who know this organization and you've been to this lab, it is not a museum by any stretch of the imagination. This is a working, living aquarium, unlike any other, in that you are invited to become part of that aquatic world with all of these touch tanks, as they're referred to, where you can go up there and you see these little squiggly things in the tank, or maybe a hermit crab inside of a big old shell. And yeah, you can actually pick them up and look at them and touch them. And now there are going to be some of those creatures that you probably shouldn't touch and they don't want you to touch for the sake of the creature and yourself. But there's a fair number of those items they have. A lot of these, the starfish, you know, and such, that are right there. I mean, within arm's reach, literally. That part of it is entirely engaging. And those of you who have not done this, my goodness, you need to treat yourself to an afternoon at Gulf Specimen Marine Lab. It's within reach. It's, about an hour's drive south of us here in Tallahassee, down there in Panacea. And it is a marvelous thing to see Jack and see this organization recognized on a national stage, not the least of which would be, of course, the recognition from National Geographic Society, one of the most celebrated, right? So that's that, and we're going to learn all about what Jack has been up to of late and what we can do to get involved in helping him. And we need to help him because we need to help ourselves when it comes to the health and the vitality of the marine environment, the Gulf itself, our beloved Emerald Coast, the Big Bend area here. It all ties together, as we know quite well. Lots of ways in which we can get involved in volunteering our time and donating money and connecting to important people that need to be a part of helping. So that's a very good thing to do. And then, of course, we would be sad to know that we miss talking about this concert tomorrow afternoon. Now, this is Sunday afternoon, I should say, around 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Auditorium. Tickets are on sale online, and this is the presentation of Tallahassee Community Chorus. And it's now going on 30 years, I think it is. Dr. Andre Thomas has been the creative artistic director of TC Chorus for all these many years, 28 years, and a man who is celebrated worldwide. He has been recognized as a composer, a conductor. In fact, he is the director of choral studies for Florida State University. That has been going on for 31 years, I think, 30 years. Well, he'll be here with Jan Smith, the president of TCC, Tallahassee Community Chorus, in the second hour of the show, and talk about not only the concert tomorrow afternoon, Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, but as well, he'll be talking about his career and the significance of this organization, how it is the TC Chorus, for its part, has contributed sizably to not only the betterment of the community, the enjoyment and the celebration of these masterworks, these wonderfully contributive choral works that they are famous for performing. On this occasion, we have Haydn's The Creation being performed, and in and of itself will delight you. The tickets are available online. You go to tcchorus.org. Or they can be purchased at the door. And it's so common to them, so typical of them. The Tallahassee Community Chorus has partnered up with the Elder Care Services on this occasion. They do that whereby they receive donations at the door on behalf of Elder Care Services. So you can bring a canned food item or clothing item of something that you want to donate to Elder Care Services. Isn't that a cool thing? So that is all going on, and that's, again, Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Auditorium. Now, we have Miriam Dady standing by faithfully, as she does so well, with the business spotlight feature of our show. So we're going to come to that moment here in just a second. In fact, she has Carol Page with her in the spotlight, and Carol is owner and operator of Volcar here in town. Another example of a fine family-owned business, long-time business. And that's what we love to do around here. We celebrate those things that make Tallahassee a unique place to be and work and love and play and enjoy life. And we include in that our sponsors, who are also local businesses, and family-owned businesses like a Country Rose florist, right? You've heard me talk about Annette McGuffey over there. They're in their new location in Midtown. Let's see, 250 6th Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Fantastic opportunity there if you want flowers and fresh cut, or if you want floral arrangements and fresh cut flowers, wedding catering. She's part of the Wedding Suite now, which is another group of wedding professionals that are all sort of allied. Well, that's a good thing. And so check them out online, acountryroseflorist.com, one of the fine sponsors of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
The holidays are coming, and that means parties and fun and out-of-town guests. That's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Wood & Glass. Wood & Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Wood & Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Wood's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Wood & Glass today, 222-5781, or visit us online to see examples of the luxury and style that has made Wood & Glass the favorite among homeowners for three generations. You'll find us at woodandglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widen, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by PushTheEnvelope.biz.
I have with me a professional in the automotive industry. I have Carol Page with Vol Car Service and Sales. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't mean anything to me. But by the end of the interview, we're both going to know what that means. So tell me, how did you come up with that name, and what do you represent?
We came up with that name because you cannot use Volvo in your company name. Volvo actually has a patent on the word. So for all you Volvo freaks out there, don't use Volvo. And my dad started working on Volvos over 50 years ago, and we opened the independent Volvo repair facility back in April of 1997.
So your dad has been working on Volvos for 50 years, and he really specializes in Volvos.
He does. We work on everything. I think Brian likes to joke Volcar for all cars. Volvo, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen. We do have a technician that is factory trained on all of those, and he's just amazing. And he can really work on everything.
How about that? So people will bring their Volvo to you, mm-hmm, to get it worked on. And if they want to trade cars, they come to you?
Some cars, if it's a customer's car or one that's been well maintained, then yes, I will definitely consider a trade-in on it and help them find what they're looking for.
Do you keep a lot of cars there, or do you look online? How do you find a car?
Typically keep
something?
A few there. Mm-hmm. Usually I try to keep one or two higher end cars, fairly newer. Right now I have a 2011 Volvo XC60 still under manufacturer warranty. And then I usually try to keep one, a little on the lower end, someone who may be looking for a high school child,
a safe Volvo for their new driver.
Right.
What kind of services does your dad do? Does he rebuild them from the ground up, or does he have a specialty?
Pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Even if we have customers that have been in minor fender benders, accidents, if it's a matter of repairing anything engine-wise, radiators, lights, and then even bodywork to an extent, if it's a matter of replacing a bumper, bumper cover, fender, door. You know, we can do all of that.
Do you guys have, I don't know, do you pride yourself in being competitive in any area?
You know, we know that people's time is very important to them. And there can't be anything more aggravating than leaving your car for a service and not getting it back for 3 or 4 days. We really, really try to get the customer's car in and get it back to them the same day. If we do have to order a special order part, we can have it overnight. So usually 2 days turnaround tops, even for major repairs.
2 days turnaround, that's great. Mm-hmm. I don't have a Volvo. I have a Toyota.
We can work on that too.
You can. Okay. Well, that's good to know. So yeah. You guys kind of can service a lot of foreign and domestic cars?
Yes, ma'am.
That's great.
Yeah. Today alone, aside from the Volvos, we also worked on a Honda Accord, a BMW 535i, and Toyota Prius.
There you go. Full spectrum.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have, I'm sure it's not just your dad. You must have a crew of people if you can do two-day turnarounds.
Our lead technician, his name is Rodney Schuler, and he's amazing. Even my father, at 70 years old, bless his soul, is what we refer to as a high-volume technician. He's capable of turning out a lot of work in one day. Rodney is just amazing. And then there is my son, Joseph, part-time.
How great. So you guys are going to keep it in the family. If Volvo keeps going and if cars keep going, I imagine Volcar is going to keep going, right?
Yes, we will.
What is your primary responsibility there?
I greet people when they come in and answer the telephone. Order parts. If you need a light bulb, I can replace that.
You had mentioned something
pretty knowledgeable
about
on
shopping
cars.
Online, kind of finding some cars for
yes.
people. That's cool.
I do offer broker services if somebody's in the market for a newer car. Obviously, I'm not a franchise dealer, but I do have a dealer's license, and I've bought cars that have 3,000 miles on them, and I bought cars with 30,000 miles on them.
So if someone wants to come in and talk to you about their dream car, you'd just make notes?
Yes, ma'am.
And you'd search?
And I'd do a search, and then I would email them what's called a retail view. It has pictures of cars, the mileage, VIN number, all the information that you know they would want to see. And if there's anything that interests them, they can let me know, and I'll do a little more research on the market report and let them know, you know, about what they're running.
That's neat. I think that would be a lot of fun just to be able to kind of, without spending a lot of personal time yourself.
It's putting a woman's dream job.
Yeah. Right. And then once you get it on site, you've got your dad, you've got your technicians that can check it out. That's very neat. How do people get in touch with you? First, tell me where you're located.
We are just north of the corner of Miccosukee Road and Capitol Circle.
Right.
Right between CVS Pharmacy and Piggy's Barbecue. We share a building with Tires Plus right across from University Buick GMC. Dale Earnhardt.
That's right. GMC. Yeah. I know right where it is. Over near Capitol Regional.
Right.
That kind of area.
Yes, ma'am.
And how can people just kind of look at you from a distance? What's your website if people want to go look?
www.volcartally.com.
Volcartally.com. That is neat. I really encourage everybody out there, and we've talked about it before, to check out our local entrepreneurs. We've got such neat ones. And when you meet Carol, you're not going to believe how knowledgeable and how long she's been in the business. I'm sure her dad has rubbed off on her a lot. So for Miriam Dady, for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, I want every friend out there to keep their eyes out for Volcar right here in Tallahassee. Thanks, Carol, for being here.
Thank you, Miriam.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, general manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Welcome back. We've got a couple of honored guests here with us today. I have to tell you that because it's not always my opportunity to be in the presence of greatness.
Oh, wow.
But Jack Rudlow has graciously agreed to be back here and bring us up to date on some very exciting things that have been happening lately. And we've got a very good friend, Nick Christie, who is a colleague and a fellow contributor there with Gulf Specimen Marine Lab in our beloved Panacea. Jack, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
I am great. Saying a lot of nice things about you because of late you've gotten even more national notification, a recognition, I should say, some notoriety here related to something that National Geographic is doing. And let me just tell you, those of you who are new to this discussion, it happens that there is an exhibition being presented by National Geographic Museum in Washington, D.C. It runs now through April of next year and includes more than 5,000 images provided by, taken by Joel Satori, and Joel, for his part, has been all over the world photographing sea creatures, and we know that at least 100 of them, more than 100 of them, were shot right here in the Gulf, courtesy of Gulf Specimen Marine Lab, and Jack, you have now have this a rather nice relationship going on with Joel, not only you guys personally, but on behalf of Gulf Specimen Marine Lab. I think I'm right in saying that he's kind of like your new fave or something. He's really become a big fan, if not before. He certainly now is talking about, hey, anytime I'm in town, right, I know where I'm going, huh?
Yes, that's true. And actually what happened was Joel actually, he goes all over the world in his photo arc, and he's taking basically the animal kingdom. It's not just sea creatures, but he does tigers, and he does leopards and baboons, okay, and all that. But he's trying to show life and how life is imperiled on this earth. And he has a very unique way of taking pictures. It's not in the in the wild, per se. He puts these creatures in certain kinds of containers, so all you see is the tiger itself, not in the jungle, and with a black background or a white background. And he's done birds, and he's done all sorts of things. In fact, when he was in town last week, he was at St. Francis doing some kind of finch, and then he came down to Panacea. But it was a real interesting thing. Just one night, he came by. He'd called ahead, and I didn't really know who he was, and I hadn't talked to him. And we stopped, and you know, and he actually stayed with us. We had a little apartment that, and he travels on a very, very tight budget, and not a big Geographic budget at that time. I took him down to the lab, and we turned on the lights. This was about 11 o'clock at night, and it just blew his mind.
And this was some years ago.
This was last year.
Oh, last year. Okay.
Just last year.
Okay.
Okay. And there were all these creatures. So we set up a conveyor belt going the next day with, we had our volunteers and students and graduate students there and employees, and which we would pull stuff out of the tanks and bring them up to this little building that we have. And he had it set up there, and he had his assistant, and he'd click the pictures of these different creatures.
Wow.
They'd be taken away. New ones would come. He did 62 in one day, and he said in all his years he had never gotten that many creatures under one setting at one roof at one time.
Wow!
And so just the other day he was on the fly and en route from Washington to Tallahassee, then to Orlando and Madagascar. He's in Madagascar today. And he shot, you know, 20 different creatures and things like the hermit crab in a glass shell that we have, which had never been photographed like that, to see what's the interior. And he spent a lot of time getting pictures like that. But the amazing thing about, I mean, the real interesting thing about Joel is that this guy, it works so well, and he works so long and hard, and it's, this is a lesson, you know, a life love project of his. And what attracted me at the time was just the name, Photo Ark.
Yeah, that is curious.
All right. So it's based on essentially the Noah's Ark of the saving the creatures in his way. And what intrigued me particularly is when we had the oil spill, we began what we called Operation Noah's Ark. How do you, if the whole place was surrounded by oil and Gulf Specimen had retrofitted itself and succeeded to keep all these things, we'd be this tiny little island. And of course, it was all almost like a parable. It was not really a realistic thing to even consider, but it
was
caught
metaphorical.
On. It was metaphorical, So this metaphor just caught on and went wildfire.
Crazy.
And I began to really realize that this whole conservation effort, restoration, saving the world is just a continuation of the oldest story in the world, which was Noah's Ark.
The flood.
The flood, it's imperiled, there's danger happening.
Yeah.
We are the flood, the humanity right now, and we're wiping out everything else, but there's a part of us that desperately wants the salvation of saving, you know, saving life, saving ourselves, saving other things.
And in that context, then, here you are selected individually and Gulf Specimen is chosen to be part of this exhibit. And individually, you're identified as one of the heroes of this whole effort. So they have this Hall of Heroes.
Yes.
Then you end up going to D.C., to be acknowledged and to then talk to this crowd of folks who have gathered on this occasion. Tell us about that experience.
Well, actually, I brought Nick Christie with me to document this and to photograph this stuff. And I don't know, it was kind of overawed us, all of us, but maybe Nick could just say a word or two on what he saw out of the whole thing.
Going up to D.C. with Jack, first of all, it was a great experience because I've known him for so long. And now for me to see the recognition that he was given by such a popular magazine. The museum itself was amazing, but then the exhibit that is basically going to be the forefront in the next 6 months.
So your involvement with Gulf Specimen Marine Lab goes back a ways. This isn't your first exposure to Jack's work or what the lab means to this community.
I think from an independent side of my producing, it has been a first experience. But Jack and I have known each other since
early
2000s with Robert Seidler.
Okay.
He introduced us. And
but Nick's done a lot of videos, for example.
Right.
He just won two of them that we did in the last few months. One was called, it's an octopus in the picture, and it's called 8 Good Reasons to Donate or Become a Member of Gulf Specimen.
Cool.
And it's a 1 minute thing or something like that?
So your personal experience with Jack has now translated into this professional opportunity in producing video on behalf of Gulf Specimen Marine Lab. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's been an interesting backstory.
And you brought back with you, I think, an outtake from this a person who was talking with Jack. Her name was Kathy Moran. She is the chief photo editor for National Geographic. So we're going to take just a minute here. Let's listen to this interview with Jack that Kathy Moran provided.
You know, visually, it was one of the most dynamic covers that I think the magazine has ever done. It was a very edgy cover. It was a hatchling in motion. You know, I think at that point the magazine was starting to recognize that wildlife had always been an important franchise, but it had always been done, I think, in a very sort of cute way. You know, almost very anthropomorphic. And that was really a critical shift in the storytelling that was being done, where the magazine recognized that the conservation issues had to be folded into any kind of species-based story. And I really do think that Sea Turtles was one of the very first stories where we went in that direction. And I think it actually created a blueprint of sorts for what we've done since then. So, yeah. I think it was a really major story in terms of how the magazine decided they wanted to tackle natural history coverages. And I think it stood the test of time, that's for sure.
Jack Rudlow, Kathy Moran there at the National Geographic presentation. She is the chief photo editor for National Geographic, a transformation. She talks about the magazine itself being transformed because of the work that Jack and Ann have done. Folks, we're going to continue talking with these two young men as we continue talking about Gulf Specimen Marine Lab and all that they're doing to help educate, inform, advocate, and protect on behalf of the Gulf. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson and Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson and Lawson, giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and talking with Nick Christie and Jack Rudlow, our good buddy. Jack, you know, this isn't your first rodeo. You've been at this since you were like, what, 10 years old, it seems like.
Seems like.
And here comes Nick. And Nick, you've got a kind of new school way of looking at this whole situation. Tell us about your perspective.
Well, I think Jack's audience is always growing, and it's repeating itself almost. The same generation is now bringing their kids.
Mm.
And what I am here to share with the world is the social media aspect. But it's all obviously a combination of what's worked in the past and now what's working in the future.
Right.
So Jack's, grassroots, so to speak, company is now getting in some spotlights because that opportunity exists. And it's really, I think, a great way to spread the word.
I have to say, in show business, they talk about an actor or singer getting a big break. You know, that was their big break.
Right.
And it feels that way, doesn't it?
It does feel that way.
Doesn't it? With National Geographic reaching out to you and saying, hey, we see what you've done here. And of course, it's only been, 40 years? But give
50.
Or take. Who's counting? Yeah.
But, you know, Nick and I went to Congresswoman Gwen Graham's office and met with her. And it was kind of really heartening. She was telling one of her aides, she said, well, if you went to school in North Florida, Leon County, and this and that, she said, you went to Gulf Specimen on a field trip.
Isn't that very
cool? And she said she remembers going on field trips as a student herself. And
fantastic.
You know, so it's kind of continuing on. It's the challenge that is before us is how to get funding to sustain it, how to keep it going, and then also expand it. And you know, if we get little drips of money from the pipeline of money that roars down from the legislature to the universities and that stuff, we do good things with it. We make good exhibits.
For those of you who did not get to do this, the Sharks and Chablis fundraiser they hold annually was here just a couple of weeks ago. Well attended, and I know, Nick, you did some great work there, too, providing some video coverage of that event. Were you pleased with the outcome?
Yeah, I mean, it was. It's just that The problem,
you need more.
We need more of it, and yep. then also we yep. really need volunteers and people to help get sponsors and that stuff, because the problem that Gulf Specimens always had is we're too busy collecting specimens, maintaining equipment, teaching field trips, school buses, this, that, and the other, and that's not the same category as going out and, you know,
spreading the good news and raising money
yep. is a separate thing. So yep. we are always looking for help for people that can help raise money and make the contacts and that stuff, because quite frankly, I will never really have the time to be able to do that, and neither will my son Cypress, who's running the place and madly working with waters and filtration systems and collecting specimens and all that stuff. And we need to be a bigger organization to do that successfully, and that's what we are going to try to do.
When you think of that growth, too, I mean, and I'm sure you've looked around and said, "Well, gosh, look at that marine lab down there, or look at this aquarium over here."
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be about Gulf Specimen a kind of uniqueness, a personality. I don't know. It's a sort of ambiance, really, that when I'm there, I feel like I'm very, very close to the reality of Gulf Specimen marine life. The touch tanks alone, I think you have more touch tanks
than any place else that I've ever seen, or any aquarium.
And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you haven't done this, if you haven't reached into a touch tank and touched that starfish, you just don't know what it's like.
Oh.
But once you do that, man, it changes you. You just have a whole different appreciation. I think it's about us recognizing these individual creatures for their own right, and seeing that as another being that has a purpose in life, right? And not just sort of this amorphous collection of, but this is an individual. I felt that very strongly with the sea turtle that you had in rehab. Tell me your name again. I've forgotten.
Oh, well, that was Ali.
Thank you.
That's where we had 1,500 people go.
Astounding.
To the beach. But yesterday, earlier this week, we had the last Kemp's Ridley that had been entangled in fishing line, and it was full of barnacles. Its head was twisted with this line, and the line was cutting through its flipper and all that. And the vet, you know, basically shaved off the wound, refixed it, and everything else. And it was, and we kept this turtle for a month, and we were feeding it crabs every day and that kind of thing. When we had, you know, we didn't make much of out of it, as we had it on something on Facebook. We had over 50 people come down
just
to Ball Point and show up and say bye to the turtle as the turtle walks down the beach and gets into the water.
Right.
And that connection between, you know, man and turtle and creature is, it's so important. And all we're really doing is showcasing life. We're getting people into these experiences.
It's a remarkable thing, because it's not just me doing something for the natural world. It's what that natural world is doing for me. It comes back to me and says, hey, I see you too. And it's that transform. You see it with little kids. You see it with big doofuses like me, that all of a sudden you're not thinking the same way anymore.
We're not separate from the world. That's the reality. I don't care how many iPads or cell phones or whatever else we have and all that stuff. We are still breathing the same atmosphere and the same water, and the same water is flowing through our blood as it is theirs.
What's your passion now? You've stepped out on this national stage. So where do we go
from
here?
Quite frankly, what I want to do is raise money to create a new level of awareness. And this takes, but all right, if you go to Gulf Specimen, all right, you'll see tanks and water and everything else.
Sure.
Behind the scenes are pumps, filters, ultraviolet, ozone, protein skimmers, all the stuff that is required to keep stuff alive in tanks.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an extensive and complex situation. Now, it costs thousands of dollars to keep going. It's very costly. Let's step across the street from Gulf Specimen and stare out over Dickerson Bay and the Apalachee Bay. There we have wetlands, we have water, we have tide, we have mudflats. The water is replaced by itself. The sun provides the energy. In other words, it's the free weight work of nature that's producing seafood for us. It's producing beautiful birds to watch. It's producing wetlands. It's part of our soul. And all we have to do that is just not screw it up. I mean, so I want to show the contrast. So we would like to, you know, expand our graphics, our visual, our things where people can understand and see what it takes to keep stuff on a mechanical basis and then understand that just across the street and on the beach and all that water out there takes care of itself, gives us the seafood, the fish. And yet, you know, you have things like Wakulla County government that has fought against every environmental protection that has ever come along.
No need to be a more convinced advocate here. I'm on your side, Jack, and I wish you not only Godspeed in all of this, but we're looking for every way we can to help you further achieve this mission. And that's why it's such a pleasure to have you here, along with your crabby personality, which we always enjoy. And Nick, thank you for being a part of it. Nick Christie, able photojournalist and videographer. We're going to continue this conversation in weeks ahead, so you stay tuned with us. But it's a pleasure, Jack. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you.
So we're going to take a quick break. I've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks is on the air with all the exciting news that you can just count on because we have such a reliable number of sources here in town. Of course, the newspaper does a wonderful job of trying to keep us abreast of local happenings, news items and such. Skip Foster and company over there slaving away endlessly, it seems. And our folks over there at tallyconnection.com. They're a great little website, blog, calendar of events. Lots of cool things going on. Let's see, here we are on Sunday looking at Tallahassee Nurseries with their 19th annual Artisans in the Garden. That's pretty cool. Check that out. Young Actors Theater. They've got a Christmas carol being performed. That's Young Actors Theater. And let's see, what else is going on? Oh, here's Springtime Tallahassee with their fall festival. So when you want to know when spring is happening in the fall, well, Springtime Tallahassee will tell you. So this is the organization called Springtime Tallahassee that, of course, annually provides us this celebration. And they're having a fall festival at Cascades Park, and that goes on this afternoon from 1 until 6. Let's see here. The Tallahassee Ballet, their Kingdom of Sweets is being performed at the Carriage House at Goodwood, and that's this afternoon. Lots of cool things. Outside Mullinger, presented by the Tallahassee Irish Repertory Theater. Now, that happens this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we had, of course, members of the cast with us last week, courtesy of Miriam Dady and her fine efforts. Or was that the week before last? I think I've lost track now. But anyway, yeah, Outside Mullingar is the name of the show, and that's the Tallahassee Irish Repertory Theater. All kinds of things going on, folks. Of course, the North Florida Fair is in session once again, which resembles the Florida legislature, if you think about it. There's all sorts of surprises. There's the stuff that you just try to get by as quickly as you can. People yelling at you, man. And then the stuff that just scares the crap out of you. So the annual legislative session and the North Florida Fair have a lot in common, I think. Well, as far as common things go, you know, a common need, let me segue into this point, because there's this other neat project going on called James 215, okay? You probably haven't yet come across this. The James 2:15 is a remarkable effort among common folk, citizens, locals who are focused on the problem of homelessness. And while lots of people talk about solutions, this is an organization that says, well, while you guys figure out how to solve it, we're going to take care of those folks who themselves are homeless and who find themselves in very difficult circumstances. So they've organized this effort around what they call James 2:15, which if you look in your Bible will give you the explanation as to this admonition that if you find it within your means to do something to help, well, then do it. And that's kind of the mantra here. They're saying, all right, so we're going to do something. And they're gathering clothing items from businesses around Tallahassee. If you are a business and would like to help, you can have a little plastic bin in your office where people can leave donations, and then they go about collecting those donations and making sure that they're presented to homeless people. Kind of a neat thing. And they also need somebody to step up who can provide the use of or actually drive a bus that can shuttle homeless folks back and forth. So lots of ways you can get involved. James 2:15, check that out online. And then this other effort that we're a part of, it's called Help Christmas Connection. We have, for the last 12 years, made it our part of the landscape, the way in which we best can contribute, to run this advertising campaign. You know, all of these charities that we talk about and we are committed to, we love, have no money to advertise what they do. Our good friend Jack Rudlow talked about it in the first hour of the show. Here's an organization doing vital work, but the work itself occupies all of their time and all of their money. So there's nothing left when it comes to marketing. No. If they have any time at all, they may do a fundraiser or two. Well, ask the average nonprofit director of an organization what it's like to try to run fundraising efforts in Tallahassee. You're one of about 700 nonprofit organizations doing the same thing. And you're all competing for that same dollar. Yeah. So here we are looking at the works of Christmas Connection. This is an organization that for over a decade, I think it's probably now 15, maybe 20 years, volunteer their time. There are some professional folks behind the scenes who provide social work services throughout the year, but at Christmas time, a Christmas Connection steps up and they say, look, we have hundreds and hundreds of families across this community that need our help and need a word of encouragement and need something they can share with their kids on Christmas Day. And so they gather all of those donations that you and I bring to them, the unwrapped toys, the clothing items, even non-perishable food, and they share that with all of these Christmas Connection families. And we're talking about situations that, in many cases, have come upon these families rather suddenly, unexpectedly. And this is what happens when an economy goes south, and I don't mean figuratively. When the economy hits hard, it hits hard in rural settings. And let's face it, the Big Bend area is predominantly rural. Now, Leon County, as such, is sort of this island of commerce in the middle of what is otherwise an agrarian economy. And so there are a lot of families around us in the outlying areas, the metro of Tallahassee, that suffer greatly. And at this time of year, they suffer even more. Because while you and I are celebrating Christmas with our kids, they're not doing that. Well, Christmas Connection steps up and says, well, we can help you do that. So here's what I want you to do. Check out the website, HelpChristmasConnection.com. This is our effort. It's our way of sharing this good news. And you'll be seeing TV ads and billboard ads, radio advertising. We've got an ad in Tallahassee Family Magazine that's coming out. All kinds of ways simply to remind you and I that the need is there and the opportunity is quite clear. It's a simple thing. You find the Tallahassee headquarters for Christmas Connection there at the website. Go to the headquarters and drop off your donation. It's just that simple. All of the volunteers will make sure that those donations are properly organized and gathered and delivered to the families in need. So, again, helpchristmasconnection.com. That's the website. Find the Christmas Connection headquarters. Go and share the love of Christmas with a family in need. Do it for me, would you? I appreciate your help. It's something we like to do because it's part of our way of giving back, to spread a good story, to share good news, and tell the story that is really Tallahassee's story. And that's what, of course, we're doing here. And that's why we have Dr. Andre Thomas coming up here shortly to talk with us about another good part of this Tallahassee story. So stay with me for more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Merry Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
The Tallahassee Community Chorus began in 1988 as a collaborative effort between the Florida State University School of Music and 37 community singers. The group has grown to be more than 200 singers, and I'm going to say, because it's grown in its popularity, it might even be approaching 300. We're going to find out from the people who would know the answer to that question, but as I tell you this, it is my pleasure to welcome the gentleman who has for many years labored diligently along with his colleagues and those who are associated with this fine organization. Dr. Andre Thomas is our guest. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you.
You're looking well, considering all that you have to put up with in working with these people, I'm sure, and the very lovely, and yes, erudite Jan Smith, who is president of Tallahassee Community Chorus. How are you, Jan?
I'm great, Brian.
Now,
thanks.
You are well known to our audience because you've been here on so many occasions to tell us the good news, and we have more good news to share on this occasion because the performance, in fact, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, right?
Right.
Let's get right into that because that's kind of the, you know, that's like, why bother with all the preliminaries? Let's get down to the dessert here. I mean, you know, and so let's have our dessert and then we'll talk about it. Tell us about the performance.
It's Joseph Haydn's Creation, The Creation, and it will be in Ruby Diamond Auditorium at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on Sunday. It's the opening concert of our 28th season, and it will be glorious. We have 230 to 40 singers.
See,
singing.
I was going to say, yeah. I know it's over 200.
It's a lot, and yeah. They are the heavenly hosts. We have some wonderful soloists that Dr. Thomas can tell us about, and we're also partnering with the Elder Care Services for
Lovely.
This concert.
Lovely, and that's not an uncommon aspect of what this organization has done for years. You guys will reach out to another nonprofit organization like is the Community Chorus,
yes,
and then offer the concert as an opportunity to help them either raise funds or receive food donations or that sort of thing, right?
Yes, we're collecting for them. We're collecting blankets or non-perishable foods or personal items as part of their Elder Elf program.
Marvelous. Okay. So then we get down to the business of the chorus as an organization providing to this community something that I think is unduplicated, in that we have this idea, community coming together to serve the community in this manner. So then then you have this neat little slogan. It's music by the community for the community. And then you have the world celebrated Dr. Andre Thomas, who I'm going to embarrass here because, I mean, he is this treasure in our own hometown that we probably don't appreciate as much as we ought to, I think. Certainly in my dealings with you, Dr. Thomas, over the years, I think it's your fault. I really do, because you have this very approachable sort of shucks, ma'am, kind of thing going on, and you're just another fella who seems to really love people as much as you love music, and that is a good fit for an organization where the people are really the thing, aren't they, Doctor?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's, for the sake of those who are just getting to know you, mm-hmm. how did you get stuck with this? How did, I mean, you had that day job thing going on and somebody must have just dragged you in to this whole thing because you've been doing it for a while now.
Jan just informed me 28 years.
Does it seem like 28 years to you?
Well, when I look back on the pictures, you know, I have
you've
in
changed
my
a bit,
home,
I suppose,
oh gosh, yes, but I have in, at home this collage that Mary Lou Carruthers made years ago of pictures from almost the very beginning of people who have had contact with this chorus, either been the deans of the College of Music or the pianist, you know, or the individual singers or board members or the guest artists that we've had with us. And so it's just absolutely amazing. And then I think, okay, I've been here a little while.
Yeah, and that recognition or that acknowledgement, does it occur to you then when you think of the numbers of people that you've had opportunity to work with? They are not all here. They're around the globe. They're in various parts of the world.
Yeah.
Musically, right?
Musically, every place. You know, we have the assistants for the choir are usually doctoral students who are studying at the university in choral music. And it's really amazing when we stop to think. I was thinking the other day, there is not a state in the United States except Hawaii and Alaska that we don't have one of those kids as director of choral activities at one of those schools in that state. So that's amazing. And then our arts administration program that we have has always sent an intern to be an intern with us or to be our executive director in the early years.
Right.
And that's amazing because one is now the assistant director of the American Choral Directors Association. Another is at Carnegie Hall running the educational program. I mean, they're just every place.
Yeah. And I should point out, too, folks, that Dr. Thomas is the director of choral studies for Florida State University. So, and I have to say, folks, too many times over the years, I have talked with people who will say, who are in the know, I mean, Chris Heacocks or Darko Buderetz, I mean, how well celebrated Florida State University's School of Music is worldwide.
Absolutely.
Perhaps you and I have not yet noticed this, but in fact, it has contributed sizably to the world stage, we'll say, no pun intended, when it comes to choral music, operatic music, right? Orchestral music.
Yeah. Absolutely. We go way back from the time of Dean Opperman,
For whom?
Opperman Music Hall is named. Yeah. But of course, the success, not only musically, is dependent upon the people that serve the course,
like Jan,
the president, and the whole executive board.
Which is of course the organizational part that we don't get to see on stage. I mean, all of this seems to magically come together. And, you know, and here's Dr. Thomas up there flapping his hands around, and somehow this magnificent music comes to us. But behind all of that are people like Jan. Folks, we have Dr. Andre Thomas here, Jan Smith, Tallahassee Community Chorus, enjoying this conversation about this fantastic organization, their concert, which is tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Auditorium, Haydn's
Creation.
Thank you. Folks, stay with me. We got more coming up.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widen Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and talking with Dr. Andre Thomas. He's the director of choral studies and the musical conductor for, is that the proper title?
Well, I think I'm called the artistic director of the Tallahassee Community Chorus.
Okay, well, get that right. and Jan is just everybody else's friend, I think, who makes sure that the lights get turned on and the sheet music shows up and the musicians get paid, you know, and that's part of this, isn't it? That the there are a number of orchestral players that are part of this whole effort, and some of those are professional people that are hired then to perform with you. A lot goes into it, and a lot comes back to us as music lovers. And I want to say to you, if you're listening right now and you think, well, I don't think I've ever been to one of these concerts. Well, shame on you. I mean, you're just not living, man. But even if you don't or haven't, a lot of the music that Dr. Thomas was talking about with us in that first segment, Robert Shaw, I would dare say you've gone through your life, unless you've lived in a cave, listening to the music of Robert Shaw somewhere. I would think there's a shopping mall somewhere that's got Robert Shaw's music coming at you through the PA.
Well, this is actually his 100th birthday.
Look at that.
And Atlanta is in the process of observing a celebration all year of his birth.
Yeah.
And so I'll be going up in April for a very special presentation of course, America is doing in celebration of his birthday. And it is the Brahms Requiem that
fantastic.
We will be looking
again
at.
This performance Sunday at 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Auditorium's tickets are available online, are they not?
Yes, they are at tcchorus.org.
Cool as that. And so thereby we go to the tcchorus.org we can actually then pay for and print out those tickets.
Just click on the purchase tickets.
Marvelous.
Right on the front page.
It's wonderful to have web people around you who know how to do that sort of thing. And
those that are afraid of the computer, they can still come to the hall and get a ticket.
Yes, yes.
Doors will open an hour before, and tickets will be on sale in the lobby.
Yes, okay. So tickets, they're at the door. That's cool. Dr. Thomas, you have been in and around music all of your entire life. Where does this all start for you?
Church
music? Yeah.
It was church.
Yeah.
It was church from the time I was 4 years old. My mother sang in the choir, so I'd come and bang on a toy piano, and pretty soon she realized that I was playing on that toy piano the hymns. Mm. So that's how it sort of began, and that led to being now my 31st year at Florida State, and a lifetime of making music both there and in every state of the United States. I've conducted every Allstate choir except Rhode Island and Delaware.
Well, there's your bucket list right there. You've got a few more that you've got to check off.
If I have to repeat more, I'll repeat Hawaii. But Rhode Island and Delaware aren't the two extremes. But I'm incredibly grateful that I've been able to have this career both in the United States and outside of the country. So it's been a fascinating thing.
And for you as that seasoned professional looking at younger folks coming up through the ranks, we'll say, or those who are pursuing music in some fashion, talk about for you your observation of music in our culture.
Well, we're facing a very different time where everything is so instant. And even for children, it's difficult because imaginations aren't quite stimulated because everything's readily available with movies and TVs and video games, and just going out to pretend is not one of those things. And people like things instantly given to them. Yeah. But there is something magical. You can hear 100 recordings of the creation. 100 recordings, and you'll find that they're outstanding and they're clean and they're perfect. But the experience is different when you're sitting there and you're seeing these musicians and these singers all contributing to this effort. And while it may not be absolute perfection, it can be heart-changing because you become then the part of that performance. It is live.
And
it is human.
There, in fact, is that realization, I think, that this is not all predetermined. This is happening as we experience it. So the fact that people are, in fact, performing for us without a safety net. If they drop a note or lose their place.
But the interesting, as I told the chorus, I've conducted creation couple of times, and I said, this probably will be my last creation. And so,
why is that?
Well, this will be my last creation, probably, because after a certain point, after 31 years of service, there's this little thing called retirement is lurking around the window.
I can't imagine such a thing for you.
Well,
you're joshing.
I'm not joshing.
You're not.
I'm really serious because Jan has thoroughly enticed me that retirement is not the worst thing that can happen to someone.
Okay.
But I so am looking forward of recreating the story. Mm. And, when they come, we often hear about the angel Gabriel or Raphael. Mm. We don't hear much about Uriel. But, to hear Gabriel sing about this magic on each, and the way creation is organized, we have chaos, that's the orchestra in the beginning, and then we have the first day, and the second day, and the third day, and each angel is sort of in charge of what happens there. Yeah. The bass first tells us about the seas and the waters being created, and then, of course, it's all the way in the third part, the last 30 minutes, God creates man, and we meet Adam and Eve, and we see them in the garden as they learn to be the beginning of who we are.
So here's the sacred text, like so much of choral music in its beginnings, right? So in the last century, we'll say, certainly in the 20th century, when you look at those pieces, and there's been an amazing volume of choral music to come forward, right? Even in our own culture.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you have a kind of leaning, if you're in the business of conducting a choral group? Where would you rather spend your day? Or do you have
working with people?
Yeah,
I mean,
do you have musical leanings? Would you rather be doing Haydn than Bernstein?
Well, Bernstein was last year,
you've made your point, haven't you?
It's always going to be something different. Our literature is the most extensive. We have more literature than the orchestra. We began singing all the way back in medieval times. as groups.
Yep.
You know, so all of our literature goes that far back. And when you think about it, you know, a composer like De Lasso wrote 2,000 motets. So how can a human being possibly exhaust the literature of choral music?
You've had 31 years.
Well, you know, 31 years, you know, I'm just scratching at the very tip of choral music. I have tried for my own development
in 48 states to boot.
In 48 states. But I try to do a little bit of music from every historical period so that it keeps me growing.
That's fantastic. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Andre Thomas here about his career as a musician, as a choral director, the director of choral studies, and the artistic director for Tallahassee Community Chorus. We've got Jan Smith, who is helping to balance this whole thing out because, well, frankly, she's just much nicer than Dr. Thomas. Let's just be honest. No?
No.
Okay. Folks, you stay with me. We've got more fun stuff coming up. These two very fine people talking about Tallahassee Community Chorus, their performance Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, Ruby Diamond Auditorium. Tickets available online and at the door. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks, I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So we're back, and we're talking with Dr. Andre Thomas and Jan Smith, Tallahassee Community Chorus in performance Sunday afternoon. We'll be down in the auditorium with this little ditty thing called The Creation. Haydn. Talk about Haydn. What kind of person was this?
Incredible. He was. He had a very joyous spirit, and he was criticized because his music was so joyous. Yeah. But he's an incredible orchestrator. Like, you're going to see instruments that normally you don't see on the stage, like the contrabassoon.
Ah.
And as the bass talks about the worm, you'll hear the squirming of the worm in the contrabassoon. It's colorful orchestration. He was the last of the composers to be a servant, because most were. They looked for Prince Esterhazy. And both Paul and Nicholas were who Haydn worked for so many years. And he took a trip to London, and he met Handel. And Handel was a rock star. You know, he was like, whoa, musicians are like this? And he got to hear Handel's oratorios, and he came back and he said, you know, I think I've got to write some more oratorios. And that highly influenced the idea of him writing this oratorio, The Creation. He wanted to write an oratorio like Handel could write. And we have all the fugues that Handel would have given us, Haydn gives us. We have the emotion of Beethoven. Because Haydn taught Beethoven. So
remarkable.
When you think about the dum-da-da-dum, all that Sturm und Drang that comes from Beethoven, that comes from little old joyous Haydn, who helped to inspire all that. And Beethoven, of course, became the composer that says, no more a servant.
Those of us who are perhaps not as well informed might lose sight of that, in as much as music itself is this fluid, living thing, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Right? And so through, even in Western civilization, and we're being a bit narrow there, but we'll say that the things we enjoy now came from someone somewhere who influenced another. Mm-hmm. You've just described that for us. Who are those in your life? Because you're a composer as well.
Oh,
who are the biggest?
There are so many that are influential for me. First, the two ladies who conducted the choir when I was 4 years old at my church. weren't trained musicians, yeah. But boy, I liked the way they moved their arms. I was just fascinated with them.
You still have the toy piano, or is it long
gone? Oh, it's long gone. Oh. But my mother did not want a musician. She was raising me by herself and as a single parent, and she just didn't want a musician. And so she refused to give me piano lessons or get me a piano. And one of the people of the church, the Wafers, knew she was doing that. And so their daughter had a piano, and she was done with it. And they had it brought to the house, so my mother couldn't turn it away. And so
poor mom.
it began there, and hundreds of teachers, you know, at the undergraduate level. And
where was this? Where was what's home for you?
Kansas. On the plane.
Man. an American kid.
Absolutely.
Growing up in Kansas.
In the middle of the Midwest.
Right along with Dorothy and Toto and the whole package.
Yeah, but a long singing tradition that comes from the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
And particularly in Kansas, you know, we have a huge Mennonite population.
Interesting.
And so even now you'll go and you hear the Mennonite Men, and there'll be 600 men that sing in the Mennonite Men's chorus.
Yeah.
From
they'll get your attention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But a long history of the a cappella choirs at the high school level began in the Midwest, you know, starting all the way coming down from Michigan on down.
So that for you then is influential in as much as you saw or experienced, heard.
Oh, I got to hear it. I got to be a part of it in its heyday.
Music, yeah.
In its heyday. Yeah. And, you know, when I was teaching, you know, oh, my goodness. My ninth grade course had 180 students auditioned in it.
Right.
So I mean, music was a requirement of back then.
Yeah, yeah.
We were
both
fighting
academically
culturally. Yeah. It was a requirement because you know it was strongly felt that it was an important asset in a child's education. And what we miss now is back when I was growing up, you could go to almost anybody's home, and even if they didn't play the piano, they had one.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and so we're losing part of that.
And you spoke to this earlier too, how we as a culture have become so influenced by, and we'll put it in kinder terms, I suppose, than what I might like to say. In as much as we're pulled toward that instant gratification, and for those who have not gone through the discipline, Darko spoke to this. He was on the show here a couple of weeks ago and talked about the kind of time and the discipline that an instrumentalist has to apply over years and years and years to come to that point. Well, a vocalist really has to do the same thing.
From the beginning, yeah. Absolutely.
And do we have that kind of temperament among our younger folks?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
We have young people who are thriving for this. And the same thing is theater, in the same situation,
yeah,
where people can turn on television. And so it's hard when they go and they see a stage that the stage has to change,
yeah,
and it's not like it is in the movie.
They're pushing the buttons on their phone trying to get something
graphics
to happen.
Yeah.
that's a different, you know, and the art of acting, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you hear James Earl Jones in a hall and he's projecting in this theater, you know, it's like... Yeah. That's what that kind of acting is all about. And that's what classical music is all about. And I think music, I think, is the most powerful thing around, because as I often said, music crosses social, economic, and racial barriers without a doubt. And there's hardly, if you can get some people, a group of people to sing together, they can't hate each other at the same time. They just can't do it. And I think, you know, having music as a part of our lives, if we can always keep that there. I'm thinking about my sister who has Alzheimer's now.
Oh.
And the one thing that still creates a little bit of buzz for her is still music.
Mm. It still connects with her emotionally.
Something about that music and that time. Mm-hmm. Not even a voice. Not even my voice.
Mm-hmm. But the music.
But the song.
Yep. Isn't that amazing? Here they are, folks, talking about this performance of The Creation, Haydn's The Creation, tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock at Ruby Diamond Auditorium. Do yourself a favor. I mean, really. Skip going to the gym. Go do this. This will revive your soul, and your body will be fine. Okay?
And no calories.
And there's no calories involved. And the price of admission is remarkable. What are ticket prices, by the way?
Ticket prices are $22 general admission, $18 for seniors, 62 and above, and $6 for students.
A pittance.
Yep. And bring something for the elder care services.
There we go.
Blanket, non-perishable foods. Anything Wonderful. Like that. We'll have a Ben and Ruby Diamond lobby.
I love it. Folks, this is why we love doing this. And thank you so much, Dr. Thomas.
Thank you so much for having us.
For being here today. And Jan, you know who you are. And we're going to be watching out for you.
Thanks, Brian.
So, folks, that's why we do what we do here. Thank you for being a part of the show today. That's all I've got for you this week. And we'll be back again next Saturday. We are the production of Alcon Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. And I want you to come back here next week and keep on talking. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Hard Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Hard Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.